Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. Now, today we're going to cover all kinds of topics. We're going to look back at the term limits issue, the fact that there's a representative now proposing changes to term limits. I'll talk to the author of the original 1992 term limit amendment. And also, lawmakers want to change the age that Michigan students can begin school to make it officially 5 years old and not any earlier. We'll talk about what the consequences of that could be. But first, Governor Rick Snyder, he's still in his first year in office, but he certainly has been productive so far. The Wall Street Journal's Joseph B. White recently profiling the governor, who was one of several Republican gubernatorial candidates to be swept into office in last year's election. Joe writes his column, Eyes on the Road, every Wednesday for the Wall Street Journal and is the senior editor at the Detroit Bureau. Welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Now, in last year's election, many Democrats viewed Governor Snyder as a very different Republican. They even voted for him. Has he proven to be the type of leader they expected, or has he been somewhat less moderate than he initially appeared?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think it depends a lot on where you stand and when you ask that question and what you expected. I think for some Democrats in the state who voted for him, some of the things that he's done, which he pretty much said he would do, they've decided they don't like. I think a good case in point there is probably this tax on pensions, which is pretty unpopular, and they know it in the governor's mansion and the governor's office. On the other hand, if you listen to Governor Snyder talk about things like transportation, he's been out talking about infrastructure and transportation for the last several days. You know, if you close your eyes, or maybe if you just read what he says and don't listen to him say it, he could be working with the Obama administration because he believes that infrastructure investment is important to the economy. A lot of national Republicans don't. So it's an interesting mix that he offers.
Now, we saw Governor Snyder get swept into office along with other Republican gubernatorial candidates, including Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and Ohio's John Kasich and New Jersey Governor Christie. Is Governor Snyder turning out to be a better leader than the rest of this bunch?
I guess I would hesitate to use better because I think all of them, even Governor Christie, who's been in office perhaps the longest of all, I'd say it's fair to say the jury is still out. I do think that he's probably made some smart political choices. Governor Snyder's made some smart political choices in contrast to a couple of those other governors. I mean, for instance, he has not gone out of his way, Governor Snyder has not, to pick a fight with the unions in the state. A lot of people would say, well, that's just common sense. But, you know, Scott Walker in Wisconsin decided to pick a fight with the unions, and as you know, as your listeners know, that disrupted the state for quite some time. Mr. Snyder's decided, no, I don't want to do that, and he's pretty much stayed out of it. Doesn't mean the unions like him, but he has tried to avoid a direct clash along those lines, and in this state, that's probably a smart move.
Is his secret then his approach of delegating the details to the department heads and staying out of, I guess, the fray?
You know, I think that's probably works. That has probably worked in a lot of ways, and it's probably just good management. I mean, we have an organization as large as the state of Michigan that needs pretty detailed restructuring. But I think in some other cases it may not have worked as well. I think the case in point there is the debate over the proposal to build a new bridge across the Detroit River. They call it the New International Trade Crossing. He got himself up against a pretty formidable political opponent there with the Maroon family who owned the Ambassador Bridge. He delegated the leadership of that issue to the lieutenant governor, and at least from the point of view of some folks I talked to, that might not have been such a great idea. He maybe needed to be personally involved when the political stakes were that high.
I wonder. I mean, that was his first kind of major defeat politically, having that project not go through. Is that likely to change his approach moving forward?
You know, I interviewed him last week when he was down here in Southfield, and I got to say, he talks about relentless positive action, and he really does come across as this relentlessly determined and upbeat guy. And I'm sure he's disappointed about the bridge. I'm sure that it would have been a whole lot better day for him if it had worked out the way that he'd hoped. But he doesn't plan to give up. He says he's going to keep pushing it. I think he's going to regroup. I get the impression that he's going to maybe retool his political approach to this to try and figure out what it's going to take to get it done. So we'll have to see.
I'm talking to Joseph B. White. He writes a column for the Wall Street Journal, which is titled The title of the column is Eyes on the Road, and he's also the senior editor for the Detroit Bureau. You know, I wonder that this relentless positive attitude the governor has, is that going to work in the political realm in the long run? I mean, there are a lot of negative things that are happening to people here in Michigan.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, one of the things to keep in mind is that, you know, that his popularity ratings, at least according to Epic MRA, which is a polling firm in Lansing that's that does work in this area, his job approval ratings, maybe specific, his job approval ratings are low. They're more negative than positive. People like him. He's evenly split in terms of do you approve of him, sort of between people who say, no, I don't like him, and people who say, I do. But when you ask, well, how do you think, what kind of job do you think the governor's doing? He's got more negatives than positives. And I think that that probably relates to people, you know, realizing that some of the things that he said he was going to do to balance the budget and to start overhauling the tax code, cutting business taxes, are things that they don't like. They go, oh, really? That's what you want to do? And I think that's with any political leader. Now, you got to give him credit. He has done a lot in a year, and he has he's come in and made a lot of changes. And I think the business community is very pleased about it. But whether a lot of individual voters are who aren't seeing the benefit yet, that remains to be seen.
So having talked to him then, is your sense that he's ultimately not interested in being a politician, but rather, I guess, a legislator or an administrator of a sort?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because I get the sense, and I don't want to pretend that I know what's in his mind, but if you listen to what he says and listen to sort of his approach to things, you know, what's being a politician? I think he ran for office because he strongly believes that that the state needs a pretty big overhaul, and I think he would say that in the sense that a business leader would say that. It's like a corporation that's not working, and you've got to fix it, and you've got to figure out how to balance the budgets and stop doing things that are wasteful and of no value. He's determined to do that, and he's made a lot of progress. I think it gets tougher from here. Anybody will tell you that in politics, your first year is probably going to be your best year, and then after that, you're going to start encountering opposition, and I think he's probably going to see that.
Now, his business ideology and plan has generally been popular among Republicans, but when it comes to the social conservative wing of the party, is he really going to be able to please them? I know he signed this partial birth abortion ban, but is he likely going to continue supporting this type of legislation?
You know, I don't get a sense, and nothing that I've seen in his track record, I don't get a sense that social issues are what he is most interested in. What he wants to talk about are things like, let's rebuild the roads, let's have a modern infrastructure, let's have a modern, you know, but what he would call a modern tax code for business so we can spur job creation. I mean, he just doesn't spend a lot of time, that I'm aware, talking about issues like abortion or marriage issues or any of that stuff. I think it's just not where he's from politically or in terms of his background.
Does he prove that ultimately to be a good governor or to be an effective governor, being a businessman is more important than being a politician?
You know, I wouldn't phrase it quite that way. I mean, what I would say is that having a clear sense of what you're about is important. I mean, whether you like him or not, you can get a sense that Rick Snyder he stands for an approach to government, and he's got an agenda, and he's working down it in a pretty methodical, I would say, pragmatic way. And you know, people will decide, well, I don't like his priorities. I don't like the fact that he thinks the way to get the economy rolling is to slash business taxes and shift some of that burden to other you know, parts of the economy and other parts of society, like pensioners. You may not like that, but I think that he's probably doing the right thing politically by having a pretty clear agenda and sticking to it.
Now, he certainly does. One last question. He certainly is aware of his, he's familiar with his agenda. He knows exactly what he wants to do. I wonder, when it comes to popularity, is that something that he doesn't necessarily care about, or does he just view it as something as unimportant?
He doesn't act like he cares about it. I asked him about it, and he said, well, you know, those are, I think he said that those are temporary phenomena. He doesn't, I think his bet, and I imagine the people who are with him and maybe slightly more political animals who surround him in the Republican Party would say, you know, first year is going to be tough, of course. The economy is still rough and lots of people are unemployed. Ask us how we feel in another year or two when, you know, if we're all lucky, the economy will start turning around. There will be more jobs, and people will feel a little better about how things are working out. I will say this. The business leaders who support him have an interesting choice to make. They've got to, at some point, start creating jobs and giving him the credit. Because if they don't, people are going to say, well, we did all this stuff, and there were still no jobs. Now what? And that'll be a tough question.
Because I know he did consider making this a single-term event, but he's changed his mind on that.
Yeah, I think somebody, I didn't ask him about that, I'll be honest with you, but I suspect somebody mentioned to him that if you make yourself a lame duck, it's even harder to get things done. So why would you want to do that?
Joseph B. White, he writes the column every Wednesday in the Wall Street Journal, Eyes on the Road, and he is the senior editor at the Detroit Bureau for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you very much for joining me.
Anytime.